Okay, we're at the bottom of Daf Tes on the base. Have a look again at the fourth wide line, Mechdi. Mechdi, says the Gemara, on the fourth wide line, right at the bottom of Tes on the base. Mechdi, hi, Yihirot Sein Imre Fi. The Pasuk, which comes from Tehillim, that we say at the end of davening, Yu Lerot Sein Imre Fi, Mashma Lebesayf, Umashma Meikara. Where is the appropriate place to put the Pasuk of Yu Lerot Sein Imre Fi? Now, certainly this is a tefillah that my word should be accepted. So where is the appropriate place? Now, of course, we know we put it at the end of davening. So clearly it's referring to all the words that I have already said. And it's a tefillah, that which I have davened, should please be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But says the Gemara, to be perfectly honest, you could also really have put this pasuk at the beginning of davening. Why? Umashma meikara debeinon lameima, that which he is about to say. He's about to begin davening. Lachera, there too, it would be perfectly appropriate to please request, can HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept my words? So if this pasuk really could be placed either at the beginning of davening or at the end, so why indeed, my timer tiknuhu rabbonon, la'achar yud ches brachas. Why indeed, Chazal say, with a mesakin that you should read this, you should recite it after the yud ches brachas. Leimroi me'ikara, question mark. Why can't it be said right from the outset, from the beginning? Very solid question. Very, very shtaka kasha l'chayr. If this pasuk has two meanings, either I'm about to daven or I just have davened, so why indeed is it only put at the end and not in the beginning? Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Yehuda, Brei de Rav Shimon ben Pazi. Hoyil veloy Omroi David, Elo la'achar yud ches parashiyos. Because David HaMelech himself, where is this pasuk to be found? Yu Lerot Sein Imre Fi, if you have a Tehillim in front of you, if not, I'll read it out to you. It's right at the end of Perek Yud Tes, at the end of the 19th Perek. The very last pasuk is Yu Lerot Sein Imre Fi, Vehegein Li B'lefonecha Hashem Tzir V'Goyali. So if David HaMelech himself put it after 18 brachas, after 18 prakim, so we do the same. So too, we place it after 18 brachas. Says the Gemara, Hoyel v'loy omrei David, because David HaMelech himself did not say this pasuk until when? El olach hayut ches parashis, until after 18 parashis, therefore the fichach, Takinu Rabbonon la'achayud kas bracha. So too, therefore, Chazal will also masakin in turn that this should only be said after 18 brachas. Says the Gemara, the numbers don't add up. Hani yud ches? Question mark. Yud tes havyan. We just said that this pasuk is to be found where? At the end of, not at the end of the 18th parak, the end of the 19th parak. Now, as it happens, it actually works out quite neatly because we know, of course, that nowadays we have 19 brachas in Shmon Esra as well. But the Gemara clearly is not referring to that. The Gemara is referring to a time when Shmoina Esra was just that, Shmoina Esra, Yud Ches brachas. So, David HaMelech himself did not say this pasuk after 18. He said it after 19. So, why are we saying it after 18? Doesn't quite add up again. Says the Gemara, no. Again, Hani Yud Ches, is this really 18? Yud Tes Havyan, surely it's really 19. Says the Gemara, no. Ashrei Ho'ish, which is what? That's Perek Aleph. The Loma Rog Shugoyim, which is Perek, is really Choda Parashia. It's already one Parashia. So even though we call it Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, actually it's all Perek Aleph, which therefore means that the Pasuk of Yehilarotze Nimrei Fi is indeed at the end of 18 Prakim. So it's perfect. It's true, it appears at the end of Perek Yud Tes, but because the first two Prakim are all one, so the 19th Perek is in fact the 18th Perek. Therefore, turns out, Yehilarotze instead of the end of the 18th Perek, and so too we say it at the end of the 18th Bracha.
Why is this really even a conversation piece? Because the Hashem Sosai was because of we were trying to be so much Gula L'Tfilah.
No. Gaal Yisrael is Gula L'Tfilah. Hashem Sosai Tiftoch is something else completely.
Well, we were worried that might be a break between Gula and Tfilah.
That was a kasha on it. Because that was a kasha, so the Gemara said that we consider it all part and parcel of davening.
So why are we worried about Yularotzon and it's at the end?
Yularotzon is a different question. We're just asking where should it be placed, irrespective at the moment of the halachas of being Seinach Gula L'Tfilah. We just want to know why is that pasuk placed at the end rather than at the beginning. The answer is, if David HaMelech put it after 18 prokim, so too we put it after 18 brachas. David HaMelech put it after 19. No, it's really 18. Now. It's only 18 if indeed Perek Aleph and Perek Beis are all considered to be one Perek. Says the Gemara, how do you know indeed that is the case? Who said the Perek Aleph and Perek Beis are all considered to be one? Says the Gemara, De'omar, I'm on the third bottom line, De'omar, Rabbi Yehuda Breider, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Kuf Gimel Parashiyos. 103 Parashiyos. Omar David HaMelech. But V'loy Omar Halaluka. He did not say the word Halaluka ad Shero'o. B'mapoloson shal Rishoim, until eventually he had seen the downfall of the Rishoim. Shenemar yitamu chatoim min ha'oretz Rishoim oideinom. Boruchi nafshi es Hashem. And then indeed it says the pasuk Halleluka. So you see that David HaMelech did not utter the word Halleluka in Tehillim until first all the Rishoim had been vanquished. So he first said the pasuk of Yitamu Chatoi Min Haaretz, all the sinners should be removed, or Rishoi Moideinam, there'll be no more wicked people. And then he says, Baruchi Nafshi Es Hashem, Halleluka. Now, where does that pasuk appear, Yitamu Chatoi Min Haaretz? At the end of Perek Kuf Dalad. So why did you tell me that David HaMelech said 103 brachas? It was 103, it was 104. So what does that prove? Like we said before, the Perek Aleph and Perek Beis are already one. That's what the Gemara says. Hani Kuf Gimel question mark. Kuf Dalad Havyon. Why are you telling me it's 103? Really, it's 104. Hello, Shmamino. So what do we hear from here? It must be the Ashrei Ho'ish, the Loma Rog Shugayim, Perek Aleph. And what we call Perek Beis is really Choda Parasha He, is really all one Parasha. So therefore, the Halleluka is after 103. And indeed, also, the Pasuk of Yularotze Nimri Fi is indeed after 19 Prokim of Tehillim, not after 18. And that's why the Gemara says so too. We say Yularotzin after 18 brachas, which is imperfect fitting with David HaMelech, who did exactly the same, he also said Yirotzen in Refi exactly after 18 prokim. It appears at the end of Perek Yud Tes, says the Gemara, you're right, the Perek Aleph and Perek Beis are all one combined Perek, as proved by the next statement. That's why we call it Kuf Gimel Prokim and not Kuf Dal Prokim. Da'oma, now the Gemara goes on to explain. Da'oma, Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeini, Omer Reb Yoichanon. Over the Omud. Kol Parasha, Shehoisa Chaviva al David. Any parasha which David had special chavivas for, an extra special place in his heart, a special love towards his perek, posach bo ba'ashrei, v'siyem bo ba'ashrei. Whatever perek David HaMelech had a special affiliation for, he began and ended with the words ashrei. Now, says the Gemara, Posach ba'ashrei, where is that? Diksiv, Ashrei Ho'ish. Where's Ashrei Ho'ish? That's Perek Aleph.
Opening.
Aleph. Those are the opening words in Tehillim. And then it says, V'siyem ba'ashrei, why? Because it says, Ashrei kol chosei boi. Now, where are those words, Ashrei kol chosei boi?
End of two.
Those are the last words of Perek Beis. So how can you say that any special Perek began and ended with the word Ashrei when this is the beginning of Perek Aleph and the end of Perek Beis? So what do you see? Once again, that Perek Aleph and Perek Beis is really one long Perek. And that's why the first Pasuk in Perek Aleph and the last posuk in Perek Beis is in fact the first and last posuk of this solitary combined Perek.
Just a basic question. Mm-hmm. If in fact that's what it is, why isn't it reflected that way?
I'm not sure. Good question. Moshe Zeta, you're okay? You're back with us?
Yeah, I'm having internet instability.
So look at the top Rashi, Posach ba'ashrei v'siyem ba'ashrei, Alma choda hi. So you see that really it's all one perek. The ashrei kol chosei boi, quote unquote, is the siyuma of the lama rog shugoyim, of the end of perek base. And therefore that really ends perek aleph. Okay, we now start the new Gemara on the fourth line on the top of Daf Yud Amud Aleph. We just quoted the famous pasuk of Yitamu Chatoi Min Haaretz, all sinners should be removed from the land, Urashoim Eid Einam, and there will be no longer Rashoim around, Boruchi Nafshi Es Hashem Halleluka. So we have the world famous story, everybody knows this story. Hanu Baryoini, there were these bandits, I think, Dahavu Beshivavuse de Rameah, who lived in the neighborhood of Rameah. Clearly unsavory characters. Vahava Komatsaru Le Tuva. And they used to annoy and distress and cause a lot of affliction and pain to Rameah. Have a koboi Rameah. Racham Yalayhu. So Reb Meir asked, he davened for Rachamim, Kihechi Delimusu, so that they should all die. He asked that they should die, and that would be the end of their Averas, and that would be the end of their making life difficult for him. Omrole Bruria Devisu, so Bruria. The famous wife, Tvisu means a wife. The wife of Rameya, Bruria, said to him, one moment, my daitcha, what is your opinion? What is your thinking on this? Why are you requesting that these people should die? Mishum deksiv yitamu chatoim question mark. And that's why we're quoting this story, because it's mentioning the pasuk that we just discussed. Because it says yitamu chatoim, chatoim should be finished off, done away with. Is that why? Is that where you're coming from? Was that your license to daven for them? Did you daven that they should die because you're coming on the back of this pasuk which says yitamu chatoim? However, mi ksiv choitim, quote unquote. Chatoim ksiv. It doesn't say the word choitim. Rather, it says chatoim. What's the difference between the word choitim and chatoim? Choitim means sinners, those who carry out the aveira. And what does chatoim mean? Chatoim means the sins. So therefore, Reb Meir's wife was saying to him, excuse me, I think you've mistranslated this pasuk. What was your license to daven for these people that they should die? If you're coming on the back of the pasuk of Yitamu Chatoim, well, the translation of that pasuk is not that sinners should be finished, but rather sins should be finished. Chatoim means aveiros, not choitim. Choitim are those who commit the aveiros, but it doesn't say that. It doesn't say yitamu choitim min haaretz. It says yitamu chatoim min haaretz. So therefore, I have a valid question on you, says the wife of Reb Ruria. I don't understand why, therefore, you daven that they should die. That's my first question on you. My second question, says Bruria to her husband, Reb Meir, V'oid, furthermore, Shafil, lower yourself, meaning look at the end, L'Sefer Dekra, the end of that pasuk. The very pasuk which you're basing yourself on, Yitamu Chatoi Min Ha'aretz, look at the end of that pasuk. What does it say? It says at the end of the pasuk, Urashoim Oid Einam, quote unquote. Kiven de Yitamu Chatoim, V'rashoim Oid Einam. If you're going to translate that Chatoim means remove all the sinners, well, obviously there won't be any more Rashoim anymore. So the pasuk doesn't make sense. If it means all the sinners should die, then why do you need to add then, and all the Rashoim won't be here anymore? Obviously, if they've died, they're not going to be here. So clearly, that's not the translation of the pasuk. What is? Elo bo'i rachami ilavayu, you should be davening for rachamim on them de lehadre b'tshuva. They should be chayze b'tshuva, and that way v'rashoim oid einom, they will no longer be rashoim round in the world, not because they're going to die, rather because they're going to be chayze b'tshuva. So he accepted her Musa. Boi rachami ilavayu. So indeed he asked for rachamim on him, on these sinners. The hodru b'tshuva, and indeed they were all chayze b'tshuva.
The fact that he made the original statement is not relevant then? Well, that he asked for their death?
Yeah, I don't know. Good question. How could he retract that filling? I don't know. Either way, this Gemara is a very famous Gemara, obviously, but it triggers a whole discussion, a very famous discussion, on about davening for a show in Bichlal. And what is, of course, the most famous incident, and Rebbe Kiveiga, the side of the page, refers us to there. The most famous incident is, of course, Avraham Avinu davening for Sodom. Now, if you look very carefully, we once actually discussed this in one of the Parashah Shurim. If you look carefully in the Psukim, all it says there in the Psukim is Avraham Avinu davened that the town should be saved. 5 towns or 4 towns or 3 towns, 50 tzaddikim, 40, 30, etc., etc. But many Mepharshim explain, and they base it on this Gemara, that clearly what Avraham Avinu really meant was that they should be chayzer b'tshuva. Which is not clear, it's a whole discussion, because if that's true, then why was it necessary to work out whether there's 50 tzaddikim there, or 40 tzaddikim, or 30 tzaddikim, it's all irrelevant. If they're going to be chayzer b'tshuva, then they deserve to survive, and if not, then not. So it's a whole major discussion. Are you allowed to daven for a shoim? Are you supposed to daven for a shoim? How do you daven for a shoim? But of course, it's primarily based on this Gemara, this very famous story between Rav Meir and his wife, Bruria. Okay, let's keep on going. Says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Omar lo hahu tzeduki. Tzeduki is a Sadducite, an Apicurus. Libruria. The same Bruria that we just mentioned, meaning the wife of Rav Meir, was approached by a certain tzeduki, and he said to the following, Ksiv, and this is very topical, Roni Akara Loy Yolodo. Roni is a Lashon of Rina, singing, which is rather strange, because who's doing the singing over here? Akara. Akara is a woman who's barren, who doesn't have children. Loy Yolodo, she never gave birth. So why is that a reason to sing? That's the end of the quote of the Pasuk. Says the Gemara, this was the question. Mishum de la yolda Roni? Question mark. Because she didn't have children, that's a reason why she should sing. That's a reason why Lachera she shouldn't sing. Says the Gemara. How did she respond? Omrole shatya, you foolish person. Shafil the Sefer Dekra. Look at the end of the Pasuk. You stopped in the middle. But look at the end of the Pasuk. What does it say there? Dixiv. Ki rabim b'nei sheimeimo mibnei mibonai ba'avlo. Is that the correct reading of this Pasuk?
Ba'ula.
Ba'ula, sorry. Rabim b'nei sheimeimo mibnei ba'ula omar Hashem, which translates as that the children of the desolate, b'nei sheimeimo, the desolate, will be more than the children of the married wife. So what does that mean? Elomai akora lo yolodo. What is it referring to when it says in the beginning of the pasuk, a barren woman who did not give birth? Knesses Yisrael, Klal Yisrael shedoy mele isha akora. Klal Yisrael resemble a barren woman. Shelo yolda bonim legehenem kevasaychu. For not having born children like you, she said to him, for Gehenna. So Bruria was very, very sharp to this tzeduki. Do you know why Klal Yisrael are singing for not giving birth? Why would that be a reason to sing? A barren woman doesn't sing. The answer is, we're singing. What it means is that the Klal Yisrael didn't give birth to children like you. who go to Gehenna. That's what it means. And that is a cause for celebration. So Roni Akora Lo Yolodo means Klal Yisrael did not give birth to Rishoim who will go to Gehenna. You, said Bruria to this Tzaduki, are going to Gehenna. Klal Yisrael are singing when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them this promise that they will not give birth to children who will go to Gehenna. And that really is obviously a reason to sing.
Isn't that a little harsh compared to what the other story told us? Basically, where she was asking her husband, basically, that, you know, what we're talking about is, you know, to be choizer the tshuva. And here she's coming down pretty hard on the Tzaduki and says, yeah.
Maybe because he himself also began very facetious when he says, oh, this posuk doesn't make sense because she's barren. That's the reason why she should sing. I don't know, maybe that's why she responded in turn rather sharply, but I don't know, it's a good question what you're asking. Yeah. So the Gemara continues in similar theme. It says the Gemara, Omaleahu Tzaduki l'Rebavo. So it was a Tzaduki who said to Rebavo, Ksiv, it says in Tehillim, towards the beginning, Mizmor le David beborchoi mpnei Avshalom benoi. David HaMelech was singing when he fled from his son Avshalom. We know Avshalom wanted to run after his father to kill him. However, it also says the Ksiv le David michtam beborchoi mpnei Shaul b'ma'oro, when he was fleeing from Shaul in the cave. Now, the story concerning Avshalom is mentioned in Perek Gimel. The story mentioned concerning Shaul is mentioned in Perek Nun Zayin, which Lechayra would suggest that the story with Shaul happened second, but it didn't. Says the Gemara, this was the question this Tzaduki asked, Hai Maisa Hava Bereisha, which story happened first? Surely Mechti Maisa Shaul Hava Bereisha. The story with David and Shaul happened in the beginning, in which case Lichtoiv Bereisha question mark. So surely it should be written first. Why is Tehillim not written in chronological order? Why in Perek Gimel do you mention the second story? And in Perek Nun Zayin you mention the first story, the order is wrong. Omar Lei, Sir Rabavo said to the Tzaduki, well, it depends. Atun, which means you, the Loi Darishtun Smuchin. You do not Darshan Smuchin. What's Smuchin? Juxtapositions. We know on occasion when you have two items which are juxtapositioned, that itself is a reason to make a specific interpretation by virtue of the fact that there is this juxtaposition. So Rav Avol said to this Tzaduki, well, I'm afraid to say you have got yourself into trouble because you do not darshan smuchim. Atun deloy darshtim smuchin, because you are not darshning smuchin, kashya luchu, that's why you've got the question that you just asked, that you claim that these prokim and tinim are written out of order. However, anan de darshinon smuchim loy kashyalon. But we do darshan smuchin. Remember, the tzedukim don't believe in Torah Shebal Peh. They do believe in Torah Shebichsav, so whatever's written is written. But if two things are juxtapositioned, to start making a whole drasha from that, that's Torah Shebal Peh, that they don't believe in. And therefore, Rav Avol said, well, I'm sorry, you yourself don't darshan smuchim, and that's why you've got this difficulty, but we do darshan smuchim. So how are we better off? Loi kashilam. Domer Rabbi Yechanan, smuchin min ha-Torah minayin. Where do I see the concept of juxtapositioning in the Torah? Shenema, it says a pasuk in Tehillim, smuchim lo ad lo oilo masuyim be'emes ve'yosha. Lomo nismecho parshas avshaloim le parshas goigu mogoig. The perek of Tehillim, which is perek gimel, that deals with avshaloim is perek gimel. That is juxtapositioned with a perek that talks about goig umogig. What indeed is the connection? There it says, she'im yoimelecha odom klum yesh eved shemoyred b'raboy. If anybody ever dares suggest, is it possible that a slave should rebel against his master? Can it be such a thing? I.e., how can the nations rebel against God? How can that be? So you'll answer him, well, you tell me, I'll answer a question with a question. Af ato emor loy klum yesh ben shemirid v'aviv? Does a child rebel against his father? That also sounds very strange. And guess what? Elo have, and it did happen. Ochanami have. Well, therefore, so too, this will also happen. So therefore, that answers the question. The reason why the story of Avshalom is mentioned in Perek Gimel, even though it's true, it happened second, is because of smuchin. It's very important for it to be juxtaposition to the parak of Goig u'Mogig. Because Goig u'Mogig is a whole battle, as it were, kaviyochel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who says such a thing can happen? Can it be that Goyim will rebel against Hashem? The answer is, well, look at Smuchin. Look where this parak is juxtapositioned right next to the parak that talks about Avshalom rebelling against his father. You're asking, can nations rebel against a god? So I'll answer back, can a son rebel against a father? Well, it sounds absurd, but it happened. Look at what happened to Avshalom. And if that happened, then so too, Goig u'Mogig can happen as well. Look at Rashi on the third wide line towards the end. Klum yesh eved shemoyred b'raboy v'yovei lahakchish es divrei hanovi. And he'll want to therefore argue with the Novi. The Novi is foretelling Goig u'Mogig. I don't believe it can happen. Well, this is how you respond. Omar loy, klum yesh ben, etc., etc., v'hochazinon ocha, and yet you see over here, dehava, that it did happen, is hochanami hava, seifoy liyois, this is what will end up happening with the Goig u'Mogig. So again, the Tzaduki asked him, why is Perek Gimel Avshalom? That happened after the story of Shaul, said Rav Avoh, well, you don't darshan smuchim and therefore you're in trouble. So therefore you have no answer. But I do have an answer because we do darshan smuchim. Therefore it was very important for this perek to be juxtaposition next to the perek of Goig u'Mogig, because if anybody would dare voice a complaint or a doubt, will Goig u'Mogig really happen? Can it happen? Well, you'll say, can a son rebel against a father? Also sounds bizarre, but it happened. In which case, so too, Goig u'Mogig will also happen as well. Okay, we have to end over here. Mr. Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue.
Goig u'Mogig was Perek Beis, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, be well.